Blog Talk Radio.
Right.
waking everybody up that 9/11 was an inside job. And you are the minority. You are the cowards who don't know the truth. You're the people that serve this evil system. You're the people that serve a system that hurts innocent men, women, and children. Not just Iraqis, not just Afghans, not just Africans, but the people right here in this nation. You serve a new world order that attacks and feeds on you. And I'm here to tell you that you will be defeated. Your hours are numbered. We've got the energy. We've got the life force. All you've got is evil backing you up. All you've got is greed and liking to look at yourself in the mirror. Because deep down, the New World Order is a pot-bellied, chicken-necked ninny. And all the armor and all the weapons are nothing. You are nothing compared to good. You are nothing compared to life. And you will be defeated. I want the individuals out there, I want free humanity to turn themselves loose, to cut the chains loose, and to use the end of that chain to slap the New World Order right upside the head. You've got the power. You want to know who can defeat the New World Order? It is you. You're the individuals that are going to be able to defeat this system. You're the individuals that are going to be able to take down the New World Order. It doesn't matter if Ron Paul wins. It doesn't matter if they rig the election. What matters is that we're starting to stand up. We're starting to move. We're starting to find our legs. We're starting to build our muscles. We're starting to realize that we do have power, and we can work together, and we can take action, and that the naysayers are a pack of weak liars who have never had any successes in their life and who are upset and frustrated to see us beginning to have victories against tyranny. They don't have any respect for themselves. They don't have any vision. And they don't have any will. And they sure don't have any of the power that shines out of God's soul and energizes all life in the universe. They have wed themselves to death. And they will crumble, and they will fall, and for eternity, we wed ourselves to life, and to everything good, and everything that flows from it.
Sons of Liberty. We received this communication from the Rogue Nation and Eternal Militia. It is an open letter to the New World Order. You have had control for so many years, played your war games, making money off both sides of the wars, robbing the common citizens of this nation every way we turn, our gas, our food, our utilities, our toys, etc. But the internet has turned out to be your own worst enemy. We know you now. Patriots like myself have researched and found out who you are, where you work, where you eat, where you live, where you play. We watch you every day. We are the guy sitting in the car across the street. We are that new guy who just joined your church or came to work for one of your companies. We live for the day when you will be dealt the same level of evil and cruelty you have been dealing all of humanity. You may know everything about us too, but we don't care. I pray that you try to round me up for one of your FEMA death camps, for you would rather tickle a tiger's ass inside a phone booth than try to take me alive. We fear you not. We may wait on you to make your first move to try to take our liberties, or we may go ahead and strike first and remove you from the face of the earth. All your money and power will not protect you from our vengeance, which we will have very, very soon. You forget there is strength in numbers. You forget there are still American patriots by the millions who will never submit to you or be your slaves. You forget about the 200 million firearms on the streets of America. All you New World Order thugs combined, Blackwater, the brainwashed military, the thug jackbooted cops, FEMA stormtroopers, United Nations peacekeepers, cannot even come close to defeating us. You will make your last and stupid mistake when you declare martial law and try to round us up, but we will fight to the death and take you with us. You should never sleep easy, for you never know when you may wake up in the middle of the night with a Colombian necktie and us standing over you, laughing, while you take your last breath and when we the people take this nation back from your evil grip. We will hunt you to the ends of the earth and shoot you down like mangy dogs. Sweet dreams, motherfuckers. That communication came in from a sniper. I suggest you think about what the fuck you're doing to our goddamn country. Now, a message from the Sons of Liberty concerning the New World Order. You're fucked.
All right, there you have it. All right. Boy, oh boy. Oh, man, my head is spinning. I was on this podcast. I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened to Lori Ann's show tonight. What happened? She canceled her show or couldn't get Blog Talk screwing up. I don't know. But I came across this show. You know, I heard him talking, and you know, and I was like, what? And I said, let me call in. And in the beginning there, I was just, going back and forth with him. And I said, oh, let me put the word out on this one. Because, you know, really, I was hoping Sarge would get in there and Gunslinger would have got in there, too, about the border. Because he was really hammering me on the border in the beginning. I live down by the border. You're in North Carolina. What border you got to worry about? The ocean? You know, she was throwing that at me. So that's why, you know, I started searching for people that were on the border or in a border state and with these and smack these liberals down. Clearly, as we can see, they do their usual bit and routine. When you talk facts or you have try to have a discussion with them, they resort to name-calling and then they start going berserk and wacky-batty. You know, well, what about this? You did this. You said this. You said that. This first base, second base, third base, home plate. You know, who's on first? What's on second? Who's on third? You know, they start going that crap, that route with you, you know, so you can't answer any of the questions. And then, you know, and that's what they do, and that's the games they play. You know, so, and this is just a clear, flamboyant point that we're never going to convince those people to come to our side. We're just never going to get them to see any type of compromise or work with people like that. It's just not going to happen. And their numbers are growing. And then they're going to sit there and tell me that the border, that people have not come across the border. First their argument was, no, we don't have a problem at the border. You know, no, there hasn't been millions of people. What are you talking about? Maybe a couple thousand, one person said. I said, oh, my Lord, what am I doing? I'm really dealing with a Fruit Loop here, you know. And it's insane. And I tried to compromise with him. I said, okay, let me give him a little fuel here. I'll criticize Trump a little bit, but let's get Biden, you know. And they wouldn't budge. Biden is a god to them. You know, he's a god. I mean, it's just we just cannot. It's just reassuring the fact that these people are gone. They're gone. The men in their Peter Pan pants and their shower shoe sandals, like the other show was saying the other night. I like that. That's what they do. And these women, you can't control my body. I couldn't go to school. I had to put my life on hold. Oh, my Lord. No, you didn't. You could have put your child up for adoption. What are you talking about? You go back to school. My parents. Yeah, because you live off your parents like every other libtard does. Yeah, because you don't know how to work for a living. You don't know how to go out there and survive. You're a Fruit Loop. You're a powder puff. You're a moon bat. You're a moon bat libtard. And you just can't reason with these people. You just can't. And I'm surprised they didn't hang up on me and ban me and censor me. I was very, very shocked. I think it was the hook that I'm running for public office here in North Carolina. I think that's what kept me on for pretty much the whole show. Because usually they kick me off, you know, when they start getting wacky-batty like that. You know, they'll hang up because they just panic. You know, they go berserk. But unreal. Unreal. It just, again, just puts that nail in the coffin that these people we're going to have to deal with somehow. They're going to have to be dealt with because they're just not going to compromise. They're going to attack us. We have to defend ourselves. We're going to have to defend our homes, our communities, and our neighborhoods when this stuff goes down, because these are the people. He did it. He did it. You know, he's the problem. They're going to be pointing the finger at you and me, making stuff up. You know, they'll make stuff up about you. He threatened me, you know, or something like that. Call 911. You know, they love doing that. And they know how to play the system very well. You know, they're terrible. They're filthy, rotten people. They're just filthy, rotten, bad apples. I mean, how did they pop up so fast? It seems like they popped up really fast over the past 10 years. You know, ever since Obama, they've just been sporadically popping up in large numbers. You know, and, I mean, out of control. I mean, before George Bush, you had Democrats, yeah, but not like this. Not like this. These people are really off the hook. You know, how'd they grow up so fast? You know, some of these people are 35 to where they're hiding it all this time. I mean, wow. Wow. I mean, they were just like running, come through the phone line on me. You know, they were stuttering, shaking. You know, how dare you? You know, how dare you control my body? You know, unreal. How are you going to debate somebody like that in an open platform? How are we going to engage people like that in a time of crisis? How can we rebuild our republic with people like that trying to tear it down, pulling the rug out from underneath us? I mean, they're like AI. They're advancing as time goes on. You know, they're getting better at their lies. They're getting better at it. You notice? They're starting to get their facts straight, you know, to implement their policies. They're growing. It's like a cancer. You know, they're getting better and better and better at the ways that they come after us. They got more and more tools at their disposal. I mean, we've got to be careful. This problem has got to be stopped. We've got to stop it. We've got to do something. Re-education, something. I mean, microchip them. Something, I don't know, because they're hurting our country. They're destroying our everything. They're destroying everything that we know, because there's no place to run. There's no place to hide. If we have to retreat, we got to go to the ocean. We're dead. You know, we're all done. There's no place to go. Canada? You know, where are we going? I mean, so we got to stand. We got to hold our ground here. We've got to be very, very careful, because they're cutting. I mean, they're pulling out all of a sudden. They control everything, every aspect of the media. I mean, they just run with narratives, and they make up their own truth. These stories, the fake news, it's powerful. It'll break you. It'll break you. It breaks presidents. Breaks like the network 76 does. It'll break you. It'll break presidents, popes, destroy families. These powerful, they have the powerful tools of information. War is lost on that end. Oh, man. And how can we take it back? Our podcasts that we got, yeah. You know, we hear people awake and everything. You know, we have our own shows and whatnot, but we just don't have. They've got numbers. I mean, they have people from all around the country dinging in, you know, ready to attack me. You know, I mean, geez. And I'm looking for my Patriot groups here out there. I'm like, hey, you know, call this podcast. You know, try to get in, you know, try to get in there. I know a couple people are trying to get in, you know, and I was trying to trick them to let you on, but, man. And then they start in that name calling, man. They're good at that, boy. They are good at that. You Nazis. You white nationalist. And they always come with that this country was not founded on Christianity or God. But they were fleeing there because of the God. They wanted to be atheists. I mean, these people are nuts. They're nuts, man. These people are walking amongst us in the crowds today, driving past us on the highways. They're our next-door neighbors. They're our bosses at work. Red light, red light, red light, red light. Come on. Sound the alarm. We're in trouble. We're in big trouble. Wow. I thought during Obama it was bad. All right, let me take some callers here. Go down the line here. 225. I'll just unmute everybody. How's that? 225-907-214. Go ahead. Sorry, nobody has to wait. Go ahead. You go first, 225.
Hey, this is Mike. I was the one that could not get in a word because, you know, I was trying to get in something. I mean, they were talking about all this stuff, and it's like, okay. I would have made the point, well, it's the Bill Clinton, at one point, it was safe, rare, and safe, legal, and rare, you know, for abortion, right? But didn't that change?
Yes.
I mean, just look at New York City. Just look at New York. They want partial birth. They didn't want to hear about partial birth abortion.
Oh, no, they shut me right down. Yeah.
You know, they didn't want to hear that New York State has passed partial birth abortion, which means you can abort the baby at 9 months. You can abort the baby as it's coming out. You know?
Yeah.
You know, that's
crazy.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. It's like, go ahead. You mean
that's right. If you abort a baby at 9 months or 10 minutes before it's, you know, ready to be come into the world, I guess, if you want to put it in light terms, you're a fucking murderer.
That's right.
You should be tried and executed as a murderer. Okay?
Yeah.
There is no excuse. Okay? You shove something up, you know, her, you know what, to abort that baby. It's not a baby anymore. It's a human being. Okay?
Right.
Now, there is controversy on where life actually begins. Now, my opinion that, you know, until the vital organs kick on, like a switch, brain, the heart, lungs, and all that stuff, then you're living. You know, you're
yeah,
an independent.
Heartbeat. Yeah,
you got a heartbeat.
You know?
You're an independent entity from your mother. Your mother's still supplying stuff to you until you're, you know, full term, whatever. But at the second that your brain kicks on, like go over there and turn your light switch on. The room lights up. Well, there you go. That's where consciousness begins. Now, at conception, it's just cells dividing. Okay? It's just one cell divided. Two, three, four, you know, zillions or whatever. Okay. But it really starts at where your conscience is. And like I said, where all the things kick on, like a light switch or like a light bulb. Now you're a thinking human being at that point. What is that? 3 months, I think. Three and a half months, somewhere in there.
You feel pain. You feel pain, too, you know?
Yeah, you feel pain and all kinds of stuff.
Like Jacob wants.
Feel emotion.
Great.
Okay. So anything past that is murder.
Yeah, man. And they say no. They say no. I couldn't go to school. I couldn't go to college no more. So that's, you know, that's more important. No wonder why we got people shooting kids, you know, shooting up schools and everything. They got no feeling for life. You know? They got no testimony for life.
But I want to say, what I want to say to that is there's a couple that, you know, on YouTube that that listens to music and watches movies, but what that's not important. It's a black couple. They both went to college on scholarships. The woman went on a track scholarship, and the guy went on football scholarship, but they ended up having a child while they were in college. Now, they didn't get an abortion. They had the child. It was tough on them for a few years, but they had the child, right? They stayed in college, and they had the child, you know, and that's the thing. Now, as far as when is it murder killing the child? There have been several cases over the years where I've seen where a pregnant woman has gotten shot and killed by, take your pick, you know, whatever it is, by a rapist, by a murderer, by a whatever, by some side robber, right? And she's dead, and
Wait a second here. They didn't care about the human life, remember? They were so adamant about it not being a life, but when I said something about illegal immigrant babies coming across the border, we don't need them over here then. They're not a life. Let's kill them and send them back. No. Mm-hmm. No, we got to take care of them, you know? We got to take care of those babies.
Well, they're illegal.
Yeah.
They're illegal. But
they're illegal. Send them back.
My point is, that woman that got killed and then eventually the baby died. And what happened? According to the law, that's another count of murder.
Yeah.
You know, these people, they murder, okay? This is, you know, when you murder something like that, you are an evil bastard. You are not, you're not made of God. You know you're not. There's no freaking way in this whole universe that you are a product of God. No, you're not. You're the product of the devil. Yeah, okay, because you're evil. Okay, you might have started out good. Hell, we all started out good, you know. But something happens along the line, and then it goes downhill, you know.
I'm a white nationalist. That's right. You're damn right. I'm a nationalist. That's why I believe in my nation. I'm a nationalist. You're right. This country, you know, they can't stand that. They hate that. You know, these libtards are the enemy of our republic. They are pure enemies. And we have got to do something here. I mean, I'm not talking about violence now, folks. Don't twist it around. Don't twist it around. I'm not saying go out and hurt anybody. I'm just saying get in their face like they get in our faces. We've got to shout them down. Don't let them get their policies passed. That's what I'm saying. Their agenda. We got to stop their agenda.
And that's the thing. I mean, you look at it, these people, these are the same people that are for what's called the Transition Integrity Project, you know? And that is that is basically setting up for riots. These are the same people that want to bail out people like Antifa and BLM. You know?
Liberal cities are okay. No, Mike, liberal cities are safe. They're fine. All the liberal cities are, they're all Republican, they told me. San Francisco, Portland, Seattle, Atlanta, Washington, D.C. They're not Republican. I hate to break it to you. Milwaukee, Chicago. I can go on and on and on here, you know? No, I got my facts wrong. These people are on another planet, man. Yeah.
Dallas.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, think about it. These people are mental midgets. They're idiots. No wonder they love
up.
Biden.
I'm angry.
No wonder they love Biden. They're idiots, and he's an idiot.
Yeah.
They won't even consider not voting for Biden. They love him. Yeah.
Trump doesn't know where he's at, they said. Trump doesn't know where he's at, and Biden does, right? Biden does. Yeah. You should have heard him.
Yeah, I heard it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's insane. Nuts, man.
At this point in time, okay, if you vote for anybody else, say you're an anti-Trumper, or you hate Trumper, or Trump, or you hate his hairdo, or you hate his blonde hair, whatever, okay, you are the problem of this country. Because instead of voting for somebody that's going to try to do something, which he has done, there's no doubt about it, okay, you're just going to waste your fucking vote on somebody that has no fucking chance in hell of winning, okay? But yet you're going to waste your vote for that when you could be voting for somebody that might be able to get this country out of the shithole that it's in.
Yeah.
That's kind of stupid.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, there's no logic there. There's no logic sense there. Spock would say, what the fuck are you talking about? You know? Star Trek.
I'll tell you what, though. I got my slander, libel lawsuit all typed up, ready to go for the ADL. I'm going to be taking on the ADL here and I'm going to be going after their asses. I got them dead to rights, man. I got them. There's just no way. Which doesn't matter. The courts are ran by these bastards anyway, so I doubt I'll even get a fair hearing. But I'm going to sure as hell, but I got, while I got the platform and they're noticing me, I'm going after them, you know? Get some attention brought to it, the communist bastards.
So, wait a minute now. Just back up just a minute, Joe. I was there, and I got involved, and I shouldn't have, just because hysterical women are nothing you can talk to. But
yeah, I know.
What show was that?
I don't remember the name of it, to be honest with you. I'll have to go back and look. I forgot what the name of it was. I'll find it, though, and I'll get it to you. I promise. I'll go back and look for it. I don't think I can back up right now because I got my studio open. But, yeah, man, but he's on every Sunday, he said. He's on every Sunday.
Well, I mean, damn. You know.
Yeah, they didn't have a chat room. I know that. They didn't have a chat room because I had to call in. But maybe they were having problems. But, yeah, they're on every scene. See, we're always on Lorianne's show at that time. That's why we never see them, I think, you know.
Well, that's true. But you know what we may want to do one of these days is when the show is on and we got everybody got the link and everything, we should probably invade it.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's what I was hoping for tonight, yeah. Bombard them with calls, you know. Because you heard me say, hey, I'm not going to take time up, get to the other callers. I know when he said Louisiana, I knew that was somebody from, our team. And then when he said British Columbia or something, I knew that was you because he was getting confused with Alaska, you know. I was going to say something. So, because he doesn't understand that part, that's Alaska. He thinks that's probably British Columbia. I don't know. they don't know too much about America anyway. You know, so yeah, but yeah.
Where was that show? Yeah. Where is that show from?
Where was he from? New Mexico. I think it was down in New Mexico, Albuquerque. That way. Yeah.
Then that's wow. If that's from New Mexico, then that's down there in Robert's territory.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. I'm pretty sure that's where. Yeah. Yep. So that's what he kept, because that's what the woman said. She said she's from New Mexico. That's right. That's what she said. That was the argument in the beginning, the boar over the border, because she doesn't see any problems with the border, and she lives there. No problems with the border. There's no problems with the border. Then nobody's coming across the border, she said. We're making it up. That's what she said. We're making it up.
If there's nobody coming across the border, then how come all the people that were coming across in Texas have now decided that, well, we can't get across in Texas. Well, we're going to go to Arizona and California and start crossing there.
I think one of the reasons is the border wall that was put up. I think most of it that's been completed has been a New Mexico border.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense. Because but they said no, the razor wire needs to come down. Those poor people are running towards the razor wire, and they're getting all cut up. And what would you do coming across with a backpack and not having anything? What would you do, you know? I mean, come on. Okay, the argument, it was insane.
What you need to do is just throw them a Band-Aid. Throw them a Band-Aid.
Yeah.
Back over. Get your ass back over.
Yeah. A ladder and a Band-Aid.
Yep.
Get back over. Insane.
Yep.
And throw them for vaccine, too.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yep. Man.
Like I said, these people have no rights, okay? They may have rights in their own country, if whatever the rights may be there, but they don't apply here, okay? You are illegal, okay? You are a criminal in my book, okay? Criminals need to be arrested, And if they try to attack you in any way possible or whatever, then you have every legal right to use self-defense. Okay?
Yeah.
Sorry. It's not going to be them. It's going to be, I'm the one that's going to be going home. It's not them. Okay? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just what it's going to have to be. I mean, it's... I hate
it's gotta
it.
Be. You're right.
I hate that. I hate that I had to started carrying 60 fucking rounds on my gun belt. Okay, I hate it like hell. But I had no choice.
Hey, does anyone know what happened to Lori Ann tonight? Just real quick, does anyone know what happened to Lori Ann? She didn't have a show, or what happened?
Yeah,
I
had
no idea.
She said she wasn't going to have a show. I know that she had is having a pretty rough week, and her mother is in the hospital, so I don't know what's going on. She didn't say anything. She just put a note in the chat room. She was canceling the show for tonight.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, yeah, I contacted her too, Clark. I contacted her too, and she didn't respond. But that makes sense now. Then, yeah, she's having probably something happened with her mom, unfortunately. So, hopefully, nothing bad. But yeah.
But yeah, these people don't want to. When you quote the Constitution to them, right to life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, right? Right to life is right there. In the Constitution, right there.
Yeah.
You know, and they don't
believe in the Constitution. They don't care, and they pervert it every which way they want. They don't believe in the Second Amendment or freedom of speech, only when it pertains to them and their control over their woman's body, you know? I mean, they're just...
They're setting it up. They're trying to set... If Trump wins, they're going to try and set it up to where they're going to try and contest the electors like Trump tried to do in Congress. Now, granted, they've screwed, but see,
they're not.
Go ahead.
They're not going to try. They're going to. The Democrats have done that every fucking election that Republicans have won. They have contested it.
They're going to do it with me too, man.
Is they changed the rule. They changed the Electoral Count Act rule. They can't do it. They'll try to do it, but they can't do it because they screwed themselves by changing that rule.
Well,
what rule?
I'm going to see if I can pull something up here about the Republicans. They're going to do it. They're going to do it.
Electoral Count Act of 1877 that said that it clarified it. It said that you had the ability to the vice president had the ability to, you know, send it to the Congress, right? If you want to contest the rule, I believe that's what.
Oh,
it was.
They changed the law. I remember. Yeah, you said that. They changed the rule.
They clarified it, and they said they basically made the vice president a figurehead instead of actually having some power or whatever to do something like that. So they'll try, like I said, they'll try to do it, but if the Republicans take over the Senate. You know, now, granted, I don't know if they will, but if the Republicans, they'll say, well, no, you can't do that. You changed the rules. You screwed yourself. Just like what happened with Harry Reid when he blew up the Senate over judges. You know?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to look for this real quick here, this podcast here this, where they played and they labeled me the Nazi, of course, and they talk about that, this podcast. They had a big thing about me, I guess. I didn't know it. And I reached out to this Jason Sane podcast, of course, he's not going to – which he interviewed my opponent. He plugged my opponent, so he's supposed to actually give me the equal airtime. So, and because he's from North Carolina, and he's a representative in North Carolina, so that violates campaign rules. But anyway, I'm going to play a little clip here if I can get to it, but where they just trash me. I mean, this guy, I mean, I'm a no good person. I'm a neo-Nazi. I mean, they're really getting deep on the conversation too. So if I could find it, but these are rhinos too. You see, we have problems within the conservative movement itself too. You know, where who's this calling Michigan? Who's calling me from Michigan? I wonder who that is.
I don't know.
That's Michigan.
Might be Donnie.
I don't know. I can't take the call though. He's calling me from Michigan. Somebody is area code 734. Michigan, huh? That could be the show that was I was just on, actually. Well, I'm not going to do nothing, worry about that anyway. Let me pay attention to what I'm doing here. This is the problem. You see, people call me all hours of the night, and I don't know who the hell's who. You know, and it could, you know, and then I get some Indian Habib on the other line. I'm not too much attention, but I don't have any of my health care. You know, and then I get mad, and I want to throw my phone across the room. Let's see here. North Carolina House Representative. Yeah, but that was you from Louisiana, Mike. You were trying to get in, huh?
Yes. That was me. Yeah, that was me. When they said Louisiana, hey, go ahead. And I'm sitting here, and y'all are going full bore. And then I tried, and then Boyd came in. And then all of a sudden, the bitch came on and said, thank you for using Blog Talk. And they hung up, and I had to call back in. And I never got back. I never got in. You know?
Oh, man. Well, sorry that happened to you.
These people, I'm sitting there listening to these people argue with you, and it's like, okay. And what the other thing I would have said is they said, well, what about the life of the mother? Okay,
yeah.
I agree with you there, but again, when they say that, these doctors are supposed to be very well trained in the ability to save somebody's life, right? So wait. And basically our former HUD guy, Dr. Carson, said this, right? Said that whole thing about it's not a fallacy. It does happen, but it's not. It's just statistically minimal.
Yeah.
All right. Statistically.
No, I agree with you. Yeah.
I
should have said something to get you on there back quicker, you know. But, you know, that's how they are. I mean,
like,
they don't like other voices.
Gunslinger likes to say numbers don't lie. They can be manipulated. When you tell them stats and figures and stuff, they don't like that because that pins them into a corner and in which they cannot get out of. Now, they'll try to manipulate. You'll say, Boy said, 60 million abortions. Well, they tried to spin it, but they can't spin that number, right? They cannot spin that number. That's a hard and fast figure that's been proven to be the case, you know?
Yep.
They cannot spin that number.
All right, let me play this here real quick. This is the North Carolina House ganging up on me and destroying me and on a podcast show actually. So they're gonna try to slander my name here, but I love it actually. But let's do it.
Excited to talk to him, longtime friend. Be great opportunity to hear a fresh perspective on someone running for the state house. But before we get to that, we it is primary time, and joining the show. Again, he's been on the show before, Stephen Wiley. He's the caucus director for the House Caucus. He works with me and other House GOP members that once we get elected, but also he's in charge of our reelection effort and our recruitment effort. And so a little bit of controversy, as happens most every election filing cycle. Stephen, you're in the insider today, and you know, I woke up to this quote. I didn't necessarily expect to see it, but maybe I should have. But your quote is saying Democrats decided they wanted a Nazi in the Republican primary. Interesting quote. I know a little bit of the detail behind it, but tell us a little bit about that. What's happening?
Yeah, so it's essentially we've got some standards in state law about who is eligible to run, who's not, and really it comes down to are you eligible to be a registered voter in North Carolina? And if you are, you're eligible to run for office with some other stipulations like, you know, do you need to live in the district that you're running for a certain amount of time, and things like that. There are some reasons for someone to not be eligible to vote, being a convicted felon who has not completed all of their probationary sentence or anything tied to that, which includes any fees or fines that are related to that. That can preclude someone being registered to vote. And up in Rockingham County, up on the Virginia line, there's this gentleman who ran last time, but we didn't catch it because of how crazy the filing period was back in 21 and 22. We saw that he filed again, and he had a number of felony convictions and spent a lot of time in jail in the 1990s and 2000s for those felony convictions. So we did the investigation we could in the limited amount of time because you only have 10 calendar days from the close of filing to actually submit a candidate challenge on someone that's on the ballot. So it was really till Christmas Day we had to submit it. We had a couple hearings, and the initial hearing January 3rd with the county board, they unanimously voted to remove him from the ballot. He then appealed to the state board, and that's where the silliness really hit another level. It's pretty much devolved from there, and every day has been a new adventure and finding out new things about just how low quality of an individual this gentleman is. We found out the night of January 3rd, after 12 hours after the hearing, that he's a neo-Nazi, or at best, I use that term loosely, a Hitler fetishist. So clearly a lot of issues, the First Amendment protects people from having, you know, those extreme views, and they can still run for office. And so for us, the closest weapon to hand that we had to fight him being on the ballot was his string of felony convictions. And then just the revelation that he was a neo-Nazi added a whole layer of political intrigue on top of it and made everything really, really complicated.
Well, it certainly comes as unexpected. What really is unexpected is that the state board has made the action that they've taken, I guess it was yesterday, to allow him to move forward. Because as I understand it, when I fill out my paperwork, and, you know, God knows I'm not perfect on paperwork, but I do try to get my filing right? And they asked the question. You tell me if I'm remembering incorrectly, but it was about a month ago that I filed. I had to check a box that said, I've not been convicted of any felonies. I attest to that, and if I attest otherwise, if I'm essentially not being truthful, that too could probably be a felony, I think, or at least it's against the law. So is that not an issue here as well, if he's been convicted of felonies and didn't check it?
It absolutely is, and the question is, have you ever been convicted of a felony? And that was a big sticking point in the second county level hearing where he claimed, he started out his testimony saying he'd been convicted of zero felonies ever. Within 15 minutes, he admitted to five. I mean, those were just five that he admitted to within 15 minutes. There were more. The question became with that part is he knowingly lied on a filing where he checked no. In the previous time he filed, he only said he had been convicted of one, maybe two felonies, certainly not all of them. So the statute is kind of, from my layman's perspective, is there's kind of a gray area about the process for if someone makes a mistake, like a typo, like misspelling their name, giving the wrong address, giving the wrong year, versus knowingly lying. And the statute could be silent on whether someone lying is grounds for them to be, you know, removed from the ballot or anything like that. The next step we would have after all this would be to appeal to the NC Court of Appeals, but the time is just an issue. Ballots have to be printed, I believe, today. Time is the biggest resource that we all have or need. And with you know, early voting beginning in, what, 4 or 5 weeks from today or from tomorrow, and then the election itself being 7 or 8 weeks away. It's just time is not on our side for this, and so it's likely that I mean, it's all but assured that Mr. Gibson will be on the ballot, and then Representative Pirtle beat him 80% to 20% last time, and I'd be shocked if it's anything if it's anywhere remotely close. I think Representative Pirtle will beat him once again. Retired police chief, respected member of the community, and you couldn't have two bigger contrasts. So.
I was going to say, you couldn't have a bigger contrast between the two candidates. I am interested to get your opinion, and we've got about a minute and a half, but on the fact that I know when fouling ended, the state Democratic Party came out bragging that they had filed someone for every office, right, which there's no primary here. They filed challengers. Right. So there's no primary here. One, they were absolutely incorrect because I didn't get the challenger in either the primary or the general. Glad of that. But then Representative Pirtle only had a primary challenger. So to say that, hey, we recruited people all across the state in every office. Is there any chance that this guy might have been recruited by the other side just to cause confusion and wreak havoc like this? I mean, it's been said.
Right. I mean, I'd be curious to know who their alleged recruit in Rockingham County that they were claiming had filed for more than a week after filing close was. If it's not him, I'll give him the doubt that maybe it's not him. But like, let's find out like who they're claiming credit for in this race of two people. They're not going to claim Pirtle. We know that Roy Cooper's DGA meddles in Republican primaries. They spent heavily in Republican governor primaries.
Well, there you go. They're trying to say I'm an agent now of the Democrats.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a bunch of jokes. Yeah.
Well, that may work. They may work in your favor also.
Yeah. Yeah.
They may bring some Democrats out to vote.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. I mean, you never know. I mean, hey, look, the bottom line is this. I think I might pull this off the way that I'm getting. I can go right now to all these apps, that Nextdoor app. I got email after email of people supporting me, signing up, wanting me to keep activism going, you know, which is good. And that's what I want to do, actually, you know. So I want to win, obviously. But I'm just saying, if I lose, I'll be very depressed because I put a lot into this. This time around, I mean, I really did, and they really screwed with me with the time factor. I had spent a lot of time researching to win that appeal, and I had to win two appeals, man, to keep my name on the ballot, and that took a lot of time, man, that I had to do. You know, I could have done other things, you know, and then they slander my name like that, you know, and that hurt me in the pockets. I'm sure people stopped donating because of that. So, you know, we'll see. Maybe I'll be a millionaire because I'm going to sue them. If I lose, I got injury now. I've been injured, and I got the lawsuit all typed up. Beautiful thing, too. I typed, finished it last night, ready to go. So, you know, I may just be in the general election anyway because I'm asking for a redo, you know?
So let me ask you this question. Did you mark on the – on your form, you know, when you were filling out to be a candidate, did you mark that you had felonies?
Well, like you
yes
said,
or no?
In the first word, I don't have to. When I do a financial disclosure in the statute for Stanton County State Representative, that's why you said there's a gray area there. I researched the law and looked up the statute, and it says I don't have to if I file a financial disclosure sheet within 30 days after filing. So the second time around, I did not. I put no, because under Connecticut law, after 10 years, you don't have to disclose your felony when applying for a job. That's what state law says also. So, but the first time I did, I put down. I only had two, and I think it was a third one I put down. And I told them I was working for the government undercover at that time. So the charges that I had allegedly against me, were fabricated and placed on my record so that I could go into certain prisons, in maximum security prisons. So I wanted to put this on there because I wanted to be honest in case it came up, and it never came up during that election. So that's what I put, and it's on the website too, actually, State Board of Elections website, that paper where I said that. So I did not try to hide or disclose it, not, you know, my disclosure. So, You know, the law is on my side. I say this all through the hearing, boy. You know that. The law is the law. They can't do shit about it, you know? Simple as that. You know? It doesn't matter what I worked for and what I did. The law is the law. Kiss my ass, you know? Leave my name alone on the ballot, you know? So now they're mad and they're going to call me every name in the book, you know? It's a witch hunt. It's a witch hunt, you know? That's what they're doing. They're trying to, and this is what they do. And if you don't want to get technical about it, boys, remember now.
And they're going to. This is politics. Politics is the dirtiest motherfucking thing that you can ever get in your ass into.
Yeah. You said five felonies. Five felonies. they're from 33 years ago. My name's been cleared. but anyway, yeah, after 10 years, your name in the state of Connecticut will be on the clean slate wall.
You know, just because your name has been cleared, you've been arrested five times. That's all they need to do, because they're not lying about it. They're just not telling the whole truth. They're just saying what they want to say. And if you've been arrested five times, they're right. They're absolutely positively right. Because they
looked
it
up
and they found that you were arrested five times.
It doesn't matter, boy. It doesn't matter. In the state of Connecticut, if you've been clear from your charges when you were first arrested for 10 years, it's called the clean slate law. Your record is expunged automatically. You don't have to file anything. Automatic. Gone. Erased. That's what the law says. So, no, I don't have any record anymore. It's expunged. And after 10 years, you don't have to check the box. They got the no box check. You know, don't check the box thing. That's one of the states that have that.
It may be expunged as far as the state and the legalities and stuff are, but the records still are going to show that the police in Connecticut arrested you.
No.
That's not going to go away.
No. Under the statute, the arrest records and all the conviction records are expunged. Expunged means gone, erased, gone. It's deleted from the Crime Bureau of the FBI. It's deleted. I have a copy of my criminal record from the FBI. I have it. I have a copy. I have no criminal record. I have no criminal record from the state of Connecticut. I have it. It says no record found. That was from the NCIS. I have no record. I have it. So there's nothing they can say or do. You know, you know where they got their record from? LexisNexis. Some lawyer printed it out for them and created it, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you got to remember one thing, Joe. Once it's on the internet, it's there forever.
They didn't have the internet back then. They didn't have the internet back in 1990. You know, there was no internet. There was no Google. You know?
No, when it came to be, okay, and they started to place all their paper records onto the internet or onto servers and stuff like that so they could get rid of the paperwork, they'd still have all the records. Once that happens, you know, it's there forever. And the thing about it is that they may have wiped it from their servers and everything. But there are servers all around the world where anything that was ever put on the internet can be found and it's stored.
That's not true. It could be sealed and erased and deleted. You could be erased and deleted. And also, I have a United States Attorney agreement, disclosure agreement, from when I worked for the government, when I made the mistake of my life to work for them, okay, and contract with them, that my records would be sealed no matter what. okay? And certain things I would not be allowed to talk about for the rest of my life. That's what the agreement says, and that's the deal. So I mean, you know that contractors and special forces and special ops groups and three-letter agencies always have disclosure agreements for their secret guys that go undercover. So that's a fact, you know. And I know what the U.S. attorney, his name was Roger Dubross, that worked with me, and he said it was sealed, and such a date, and I signed, and I agreed to it, and I got the hell out of Connecticut, and that was another stipulation. I had to get out of Connecticut. So, you know, I mean, because I knew things about them and the way the system was working up there, and certain people of prominence, like Joe Lieberman, former vice president of the United States, I'll leave it at that, and a couple other people that I had information on them, that they were doing bad things. And, you know, they didn't want that coming out. So they tried to kill me twice. You know, and when they couldn't, when they failed the second time, they said, boy, this guy's not going to go down, you know? So how about you just get out of here? Okay, I'm leaving. See you later. You know, they gave me like a check for some money, and then I left. Came down here. I even got offered witness protection. I declined that, though. I'm not changing my name and everything. I'm not going to hide like that. So, you know. Yeah, maybe I should have. Who knows? I would have maybe got paid off better. You know, I don't know. But then I would have to say goodbye to my family and everything, you know, and live like a little rat in a corner, you know? Screw that. Look, man, I was fighting the bad guy. I wasn't trying to set anybody up. I wasn't trying to do anything bad. I was fighting corruption within the government. You know, that's what I was doing. And if nobody likes that or anybody's got a problem with that, too bad. You know, that's just the way it is. I mean, it wasn't like I was trying to set people up and get them in trouble and, you know, plant things and everything. I was going after, you know, bad corruption. Corruption, man. It's something that we're all supposed to be against.
What they're doing to you, Joe, is what they're doing to these whistleblowers that are coming out and talking about, well, this the Hunter Biden laptop, this, that, and the other, the Hunter Biden IRS stuff, you know, all this stuff that is circling around, all this corruption that's circling around Joe Biden, they want that stuff covered up, you know. But if you've gotten, you know, quote, whistleblowers that are coming out, they're threatening these whistleblowers to shut them up, you know.
I know.
And that's basically what they're trying to do to you.
Yeah. I know that, and they will win. You can't take on Uncle Sam. You just can't. You're not going to win. Guys disappear. Guys get killed. You know, you're just not going to win. Very seldom do you come out on top and win, you know, and walk away with like roses, you know, smelling all right. You know, I mean, you got to sell out at some point, you know, and I'm not selling out. I'm not going out. I'll keep my word. I'm not going to talk about certain stuff. You know, but at the same time, they're not going to fuck me over either, man, and let me live like a freaking felon for the rest of my life. That's a bunch of bullshit. You know, now what happens now? I can't buy a gun? I can't walk around with my gun now? I'm a felon? Get that fuck out of here, man. Bullshit. You know, I got my neck slashed open, man. I almost got my head blown off, stabbed in the chest. Knife out the other side of my back, got a hole in my back, hole in my chest. You know, man, fuck that. These people owe me, man. You know, and they're going to talk about I'm a bad person. I'm a bad person. You know? Bad person, you coward motherfucker. You know? Draft dodging son
and
of a bitch, probably.
The
thing, you know?
These are so-called Republicans that are attacking you, right?
Yeah.
These are so-called Republicans. And I've said this before. I mean, it's not just the Democrats that have corruption in them, you know. The Republicans have it in them too, you know. And your situation is proving that these people, that these so-called Republicans, I mean, that clip you just played of that guy's show and who was talking about the other guy, those are two big Republicans, and they sound like they're very, very corrupt.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they are. They got money up to getting defunded by bankers and everything. I've got them on dead to rights. So it was all started with that casino project that I stood up against. You know, that right down there, and these Jewish bankers that were backing them. Because they, you know, and they were all tied in with the Indians, these Jews, too. And, oh, boy, they don't want to talk about that at all. You know, so that's why the ADL is coming after me. You know, they shut me up real fast, you know, because I interviewed a couple MSM guys. You know, but what does that mean? What does that mean? I do a podcast show. That doesn't mean anything, you know?
Yeah.
I'm a Hitler fetish. Hitler fetish. What did they say? I got a fetish for Hitler? What assholes. I said 88 once. 88 times 7. Oh, he's an Aussie. Come on, man.
They're essentially calling you an asshole, but what they don't understand is everybody's an asshole. It's just to what extent that you are an asshole.
Yeah, you know? Well, I am an asshole. 407, you're on.
Yeah, this is Nathan in Orlando.
Hello.
I was listening to y'all getting down on the Republicans are a part of this. I was just thinking of something I looked up back a few years ago when Obama won. Now, we got the Republican-Democrat fight going on, right? But if you type in Mitt Romney, hit the space sign, the space button, and then type in, get a list of Obama czars and type in their name and start with the healthcare czar and the science czar. Type in their name and you'll learn that somewhere, and I haven't worked the math out, but it's somewhere probably close to 2/3 of Obama czars was advisors in that same subject for Romney. The last little bit, about the last 1/3, they all came from Clinton and George W. Okay, now
really?
Right there just shows you the two parties are one party.
Yep. Oh yeah. Same bankers fund both sides of the coin. We know that. Come on. What do I always say? You know what? The right, the left. You know, hey, wait a minute. One guy's holding up both puppets. You know, shut up, America. Go back to bed. You know, your government's in control. You know.
When I was talking several months back, and not Nathan, but who's the other guy? Not Pianchi, but who's the other guy that always calls up and argues with us?
Nige?
John Doe, maybe. Nige, that's the one. And we were talking about, you know, and this was before they got rid of, what's her name? At the RNC, right? Ronna Romney McDaniel.
McDaniel,
right?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, so, and I'm saying, look, I was talking about the funding and how, when, generally speaking, when Trump would endorse these guys, they would get elected, right? But if they didn't like the guy, if the establishment didn't like the guy that Trump endorsed, they wouldn't give him the money. Now you come to find out that Ronald Romney McDaniel is another one of these corrupt Republicans. But that's
Romney's niece. She's Romney's niece.
Yeah. Right. So. My point about the funding, and I just didn't want to hear any of it, but my point about the funding is that if the leader of your party says that he wants this guy to get elected, then he's got to get the funding. All right. If he endorses it and the guy wins and you don't want to give the guy the funding to help him win the election, then you've got to go. And there's no doubt that right now Trump is the leader of the Republican Party. They hate it, but he is the leader of the Republican Party. And that's why they ended up getting rid of McDaniel, and Trump's daughter-in-law is going to be a co-person in the in the Republican Party, because he wants to be able to endorse these guys and have them get the money they deserve to get.
Well, what are they going to do if I win? They said they won't recognize me. They said they won't seat me. How can they get away with that?
By law, do they have to? I mean, do they? If you win the election legally,
the caucus, the Jewish caucus of North Carolina, the Jewish caucus of North Carolina is challenging the Republican Party not to seat me if I win the House seat. How can they do that? How can a caucus party, an independent party from the Democrat side, by the way, say that they won't seat me, they'll refuse to seat me? That is unconstitutional right there. That's the contempt of Constitution. How the hell can they do that? How could you say that? They should be arrested for that, whoever made that statement. That's unconstitutional, man.
Absolutely. That's a threat.
Yeah, that's a threat. Yeah.
That's a threat.
You're right. I didn't even think of that. You're right. It is. That's a threat. You're absolutely right. I'm going to look into that first thing tomorrow. I may go get a Provo Novo Marshal and start looking at Gavin Sturd with a freaking warrant. Sons of bitches. You know, let me become a lawmaker. I can draft warrants up, you know.
All this stuff that's going around with Trump, all this lawfare shit, that's a threat. That's a threat. They're trying to scare Trump out of the election.
Intimidation. It's called intimidation. It's intimidation. It violates 241 and 242 USC. Yep. Violates that right, conspiratory, violating his rights there. That's punishable by jail time, actually.
Right, and that's the thing. I mean, they're trying to intimidate Trump with these fake judgments in New York when they know that they're going to be appealed and they're not going to see any of that goddamn money, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
In fact, they don't want to talk about the Stormy Daniels thing because Stormy Daniels ended up losing the case and having to pay Trump. You know, she lost.
I can't find no case law. Yeah, see, like with my case, I have to have injury. I have to be injured. So if I lose the election, then that's my injury. You know, I mean, that's basically what I've read and the research I've done on the cases. I won't have no case. I'll have no standing. You'll be able to win in summary judgment probably. You know, I mean, so I don't want to take that chance. So that's why I'm waiting to file this. Man, don't you think I want to file this thing? That'll be a mech in the media suing the ADL. But I got to wait and see if I win. You know, it's a catch-22. See, that could help me, but then I got to wait because I don't want to file something that I'm not going to win, you know?
Well, that's basically what a lot of these – remember, they kept saying about Trump. Well, he didn't win – when he went to court, he didn't win. Well, no, they didn't – he didn't – not that he didn't win. They didn't hear the cases because they said that he didn't have standing because there was no injury.
No. Mike, you're wrong.
Okay.
Trump never filed any of those lawsuits about the election. People out that were not part of his team and everything filed those court cases, and the court said they didn't have standings because they were not the injured party.
That's what he just said. That's what he just said.
Is that what Mike said?
I'm sorry,
Mike, but I thought I heard you say it differently. But
that's what I just said. There were certain cases that Trump filed that they told him that he didn't have standing. Because he couldn't show injury.
I have not heard of Trump filing anything on on the election. Okay, as far as fraud and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
He should go after it. He should go after him to challenge the de facto. They have a de jure. When the de jure challenges the de facto has to always stand down. That's what it says on all case law, common law, and everything. That's what it says. So I read that in the UNC law library, actually. So that's interesting because that's good common law question. That's restoring the republic right there. We want to restore the republic. I mean, lawfully, we want to. And that's a fact.
Well, this
treason. Yeah, you're right. It's really treason.
This is why I was so happy when Fannie Willis indicted Trump.
Yeah.
And because then they cannot not keep him from bringing evidence in of the fraud that happened right there in Atlanta, and, you know, just blow them out of the water.
Yeah.
You know, something I keep hearing and something I don't hear, I keep hearing people say that he, and I don't know the answer to this, but they keep saying he can't run for office in this state because he's been disqualified because of treason, according to Article 4, the 14th Amendment. But I've never heard of any judge pronouncing him guilty of that. But it's like they get it in our minds, and then we're sitting around in debate saying he can't run because he was found guilty. And nobody is saying which judge or what was the case number or anything. And so it's all about getting stuff in our mind, and then we believe it.
Yeah, but the other thing, and Sarge pointed this out very definitive when we were talking about it, if you go on to finish reading the whole of the 14th Amendment, Congress is the one who decides.
Yes. Yeah, well, it's like the whole thing with the Electoral College and a whole bunch of stuff. It's a lot, the states, I hear, I run into this a lot on the states when it comes to elections. The states kind of believe that they get to make up election laws for their states, but that is in the Constitution. The only thing the states can do is times, manners, and places, which is basically they can decide how to run the elections, but they're not in charge of any election laws unless Congress was to amend the Constitution. You know, we just don't know. We just don't know. We only know what we know, what we've been taught.
Yeah. I think some loophole holes are being discovered, you know. I mean, I even think the Constitution is the final say. You know, it's got the ironclad rule. We're going to find out there's some loopholes in this thing, you know.
But there wouldn't be loopholes if we read the Constitution and said, okay, this is the way it is. Well, I don't like it. Well, then let's change it. You know?
I know.
But
I agree
with you.
We
just go and somebody writes the law, and then, you know, it's. Somebody's coughing.
That would be me.
Yeah, somebody's coughing. Somebody asked me, I thought I had another caller here. Somebody asked me in the chat room how many callers I had live. Is he talking about live callers or on the board? Or just listens? On my listens, I've had thousands at one time, but live callers on the board, I've only had like 65, 67 callers. That's it. That's the most I've ever had. You can't handle any more than that because there's too many numbers. You'd be scrolling up and down, you know? I mean, 50, after 50, you can't even see the board really anymore, you know? The numbers all, you know, I think 20 is a good number to have, 20, 25 live callers. That's good enough. You know, I remember going down the line. Remember when I had Mandelicon on here and everything years ago, and I had all the fruitcakes on here? I mean, I remember when I had the militia guys on here. I remember going down the line, we're going to one caller, call after one, after another, and it was just got, you know, after a while, nobody could talk, talking over each other.
And you really don't get any answers to your discussion.
Yeah,
either.
Yeah, you know. So, I mean, you have an open platform like this, you can only have so many roundtable discussion, really, when you think about it. Where is Sarge tonight? He's missing in action. Where's Bianchi at? Bianchi.
Well, I don't know.
No, but we need to get Sarge. We need to get Sarge in on Trump's team when he gets reelected. He's got a lot.
Yeah, back. Yeah. Back when BTR first got started. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I know. We don't get callers like that. Now, I'm talking to somebody in the chat room. Yeah, I know. We don't get callers like that. I don't get them like that no more. That's for sure. Maybe. At max, maybe 20, 22, if that. Really? Only 3 of 10? No, you got more than that. Damn, man. I see your chat room's loaded more than that sometimes. But, well, I don't know. Like I said, the board, yeah. Like right now, I got 11 callers on the line. I got 11 callers right now. That's pretty good. You know, I got some private numbers, and I got five hands up right now talking, so. You know, well, my regular night, I'll get 16, 15, you know, that average. But you know, I used to get always 25, 30 all the time. Most I ever had was 65. That's when I did that Republic show years ago when I had the Republic call in. We had the military people listening. My show was blowing up, I remember. Man, that's when we were talking revolution. Everybody's just disappeared. Everybody's gone, hid away, you know, dying off. I mean, I don't think I'm kind of agree with Sarge now in a way. I don't know what you think, Nathan. You're a truck driver, or used to be a truck driver.
I am a truck driver.
The vibe out there now, what's the vibe with people talking? Truckers talk amongst themselves. I know that. You know, what's the vibe out there with the country? I mean, you know, what happened with the big going down to Texas thing? That thing fizzled out, huh? I mean, what's going on?
I don't know. I'm local, so I don't get to get out on the road and tap into a lot of
minds.
They don't talk?
Oh, you don't hear nothing?
Yeah, you know, like, there's a lot of people, like, I don't have a CB in my truck because that today's everything you need. You got everything you need, and you can get it from your GPS if there's an accident up
ahead
like that. You know, so you don't need – but something I just learned recently, back whenever I was younger in many earlier years, the one channel you can always be on is 19, and I just recently heard, I forgot what channel it is, but channel 19 is for if you're going north and southbound, and if you're going east and west, I forgot what channel it was. But they even the truckers got that organized so that, you know, if you're riding, you're coming up on an intersection and you're near east-west, you're not crossing over with each other. I thought that was pretty good. I don't know who came up with that.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, you're right.
But for not being organized, I tell you what, it's pretty organized. You know.
Well,
these people, on the CB.
Yeah, well, talk about organization. They've got me fired from my job here. You know, I mean, they banned me from being a security officer. I mean, they wouldn't issue me my license. I had the company. I got employee of the year at one security operation. 6,000 employees, I got employee of the year. Stopped 2 robbery attempts, right? And still they wouldn't approve my state license when I went back in front of the board. So these people are out to get me here in North Carolina. And like I said, if things don't work out with this election, I think I'm going to go rescue kids or something, become a contractor or mercenary or something, and you know, pull out the bag and all the equipment and get on a private jet and get the hell out of here, you know?
No, but you see, if you were the governor's son and you had a whole bunch of problems or the president's son, you know, they got a network of people to let them move forward with whatever it is they want to do in the government. But you're an outsider and they can. You don't even have to do something wrong. They can just create something and that gets in people's minds, and they won't ever give you any time of day, you know.
Yep, you're right. Well, you know that guy, remember that movie Machine Gun Preacher? That guy that went over to Africa and was fighting that guy, Coney? Remember that movie, Machine Gun Preacher? Sam Childress. Anyway, he was, going over there fighting that mercenary Coney, and he was over there fighting, with the African tribes and everything. I'm not going to do that, but, I was talking to him, and he's got a church in Pennsylvania, and he's got some underground networks that, maybe connect me up. But I'm thinking probably Ukrainian children or something. There's a lot of children turning up, going through the trafficking networks down there, over there. And probably do that or something. Do something, because I can't. What am I going to do? I can't, what am I going to do for a living? What am I going to sit around with my thumb up my ass, talking about Democrats and Republicans? I can't get a job. Nobody will let me in.
I tell you, this thing with the slavery, while it, for most of us, in a thing of slavery is something that got settled generations ago. And but you know what? Slavery is bigger now than it has ever been any time in history. It's more organized.
Yeah. And they got groups out there that fight. They go over to Korea and get dropped off in these zones and everything. It's just infiltrate here and go there. I'm not gonna go back. I'm not gonna go work for CIA or anything like that. But I'll be a contractor or something. I'd be honest with you, I wish the war was still going on in the Middle East. You could be a contractor over there, make all kinds of money. That was making some good money, some of those military contractors in Dubai and everything.
Yeah.
Man, they're making a killing. Because if I can't even get a license from the state to be a security officer, I'm not going to be, what am I going to do, bag groceries? I got to do something. And I spent most of my money on this damn campaign, I'm going to go back to landscaping. Screw that, man. Can't find no good help anymore, unless I'm going to hire a bunch of Mexicans, and I ain't going to do that, I remember when I advertised, it was American, I said right in the newspaper, American owned and operated, and my landscaping business was built on capitalism, not socialism. Man, you used to get calls, I used to get people loved it. And that was in 2016. I put that in there. So, you can make good money providing a service for people, a plumber, electrician, gunslinger knows about that. Landscaping. But you drywall business, painters now, Mexicans own it. Yeah, they own all of it. You ain't getting in. They just suck up all that work. Your drywall business especially. And you can't compete with their crews. You're charging $3 a foot, just to get by, and they're doing it for $1.50 a foot. It's like, how do you do that? Because they got nine guys that, Paco and Chaco and Taco, all working with them. They all live in one room, and they came over here illegally, and they work for a season, get all their money, bank it, and then they take off back over across the border again, and then the next batch comes over. You can't compete. And by the time the state's going after them to get a license and to get a contractor's license, they're already back in Mexico, what are you going to do? You can't win. Meanwhile, us, the white guys out there, or the Americans out there trying to make a living, they're up our ass. We got to have a license, got to have a permit, got to have this. We can't compete. We can't do anything. We got to be regulated. You can't landscape, and now you can't even install an irrigation system anymore without a license. That's ridiculous. I'm not paying no damn to go to school to live with for stuff I already know. Get the hell out. But they won't let you tie it into the water main. To when you install irrigation now, because you got to contact the city, and you got to have a permit. That's ridiculous, man. It's just you can't do anything. You can't even spray weeds anymore without a permit. That's crazy. You got to have permission to spray Roundup to get cancer. come on. $50. Crazy. It's a racket. No way. And those are the things I want to do away with if I'm elected to office. I want to restore our republic, limit the codes and regulations and the policies and the statutes that are unconstitutional. And I was thinking, coming up with a one-rule law that if I can get passed or sponsored in committee, that would address all the unconstitutional statutes and policies that harm a person. Now, for instance, like if you're harmed by a statute, you can, by law, take it to a district or superior court of any jurisdiction in the state that you were harmed and challenge it and bring it in front of a judge. And if you win, that law gets stricken down from the books. You know, something along those lines. That's how we have to get rid of these codes and statutes, because they're killing us. They're killing the small business owner. They're killing the middleman. And it's just too expensive. Everything's so damn expensive, you know?
10 families in one house.
Yeah, man. Crazy. It's insane. Oh, man. But anybody else want to chip in here tonight with late night? You know, I'm not going to be hanging out here too much longer. So anybody else want to? I know I was fired up in the beginning of that damn liberal show we called in. You missed that, Nathan. We were on this liberal show over there earlier on tonight. We called in, and these people were off the hook. I mean, the things we were arguing about abortion, for starters, and immigration.
Nuts.
Yeah. Yeah. Nuts. Huh. They were shouting at us, yelling at us. We were Republican psychos. I mean, oh, yeah.
Can I get this by archive?
Yeah, if I could find out the name of the show, if I can remember the name of it. It was on right before my show kicked on, so 11:30. So they were on between. So they must have came on about 9:30. They were on between 9:30 and 11. 11:30. That's when they were on. So I'll have to go back and look, but what the name of it was.
Okay.
But yeah.
Well, how did you get there to begin with?
Just looking for Lorianne's show, and I found it. You know, I'm scanning Blog Talk, just seeing what the hell was out there. You know, and I clicked on it, and I heard that bull crap they were talking, and I decided I had to jump down. You know, but when I hear crap like that being talked on the airwaves, I have to attack it, man. That's my duty. You know, can't let that stuff go unchecked. You know, talking about the nonsense they were talking, that liberal nonsense. You
yeah.
know, you gotta attack it. So anyway, we'll play this about 4 minutes long. Anybody else who wants to call in, 657-383-0616, press the number 1.
As many of you may know, all of humanity is under a massive psychological warfare attack. And professor of clinical psychology, Matthias Desmond, who has studied the psychology of totalitarianism, has done an excellent job of explaining how we got here and how we win. In dictatorships, obedience comes from a basic fear of the dictator. But with totalitarianism, the people are hypnotized into obedience. In psychological terms, this mass hypnosis is known as mass formation. And totalitarianism always starts with a mass formation inside the population. A mass formation requires 4 conditions for it to take root. The masses must feel alone and isolated, and their lives must feel pointless and meaningless. These conditions have been growing for years with social media, mobile devices, and 4 years of massive division experienced during the Trump administration that made people on all sides feel more isolated. The masses then must experience constant free-floating anxiety, and they must experience free-floating frustration and aggression. This simply means there is no discernible source for the anxiety or aggression. And so the person begins to irrationally crave a remedy, no matter how absurd or destructive it may be. And these conditions were met in 2020 with the COVID lockdowns and the BLM riots. They are now ripe for hypnosis. And once they accept the experimental vaccines, they feel solidarity, which validates the whole thing for them, no matter how senseless. They are now changed, no longer rational. They become more intolerant and cruel. So how do we win? Studies have shown that about 25% of the population cannot be hypnotized, and about 10% are highly susceptible to hypnosis. And Professor Desmet simplifies this even more for us. He says that 30% of people are now deeply hypnotized and have irrationally accepted the experimental shots as their solution. 40% are not yet hypnotized, but will ultimately go along with the herd. And the rest of us are seeing things clearly. What the enemy is trying to do is extremely dangerous. because if the masses ever awaken from their spell, they will demand justice. And so stress must constantly be maintained upon the masses until the mass formation is complete. We are the voice of dissent, and while we may not have much influence over the hypnotized 30%, we must definitely have sway over the 40% who will go along with the herd. We need to become the herd. Whether you think this all happened by accident or conspiracy, whether your reasons are based on religion or personal health, our voice of dissent must become one. It must grow, and it must never end. We must spread the seeds of doubt to everyone.
That's right. And spread the republic. God bless the republic. That's right. And don't let these people win, man. Never, never, never let them win. Never let them go unchecked, like I was just talking about. You know, I mean, it's common sense. The neutrality of complacency that we ourselves allow these people to run rampant doing. And really, it's sad. It's so sad. I mean, watching our republic. I mean, I played that other one the other night with what's his name, Thomas Paine. There, you know. I mean, how long are we going to allow these people to go unchecked? I mean, you know, press one for Spanish, press two for English. You know, what the hell is going on, man? What's up with you? You know, come on.
Absolutely. And then, you know. You get this stuff like I said earlier, the Transition Integrity Project, that basically says that if Trump wins, the riots are going to start again. All right, that's what they're going to do. If Trump ends up winning and winning big, whatever. I'm not saying he isn't. But if he does, that's what they say is going to happen. Is all this stuff about the riots, you know, the BLM and the Antifa, and they want, what they want with that is they want Trump to come in there with a heavy hand and put them down, because they'll say, okay, they do this, you did that, you know, X, Y, Z, A, B, C. But again, what they don't understand is Trump didn't do it the first time because he didn't want to, you know, give them any ammunition, but he's not gonna give a shit this time. He's gonna say you're gonna do this. Okay, I'm gonna declare you insurrectionist, and I'm gonna send in the National Guard. I'm gonna send in the military, and you're done.
Well, I don't know about the military. I mean, I don't know. I don't foresee military on the streets of America. I mean, I don't know. Well, martial law is a funny thing. You know, they got to be careful when they play that game. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know what your guys' opinion is on that.
Your thought is that if they, I mean, I'm not sure if they're that smart to not try and go after like federal courthouses like they did in what you call it, if they do that, then yeah, he'll call that an insurrection. He'll send in the military to protect the federal courthouse. What choice does he have? It's a federal courthouse, you know.
True. Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, at what point? Yeah, true. I don't know. I mean, this stuff is serious business, like I said. I mean, look, we don't have to beat a dead horse. I mean, we know what's going on out there. All of us are awake. I mean, most of the people that call into these shows, I mean, we know what time it is. But the problem is, though, I don't see the numbers out there. You know, like I said, the militias in the 90s, you know, we had the numbers back then. You know, Randy Weaver, Waco, you know, still nothing. You know, we didn't have the internet like we do now, you know. You know, it's hard to analyze these things and put a perspective on it, really, you know, and so that we can understand fully how to go about it and attack, you know, or go after these people, you know, arrest them. Oh yeah, no, you know, mass arrest. We're not gonna be arresting people, and you know, it's not gonna happen. It's not gonna happen like that. So, I mean, it's just like, remember all the stories about January 6th afterwards, remember? After January 6th, they got barbed wire around the city, you know, razor wire, remember? You know, pointing outwards, you know, come on, it was no razor. The underground, they flooded out the tunnels, you know, I mean, come on. But I remember the stories, it was crazy. It was crazy, man. It was insane. I mean, it was funny in a way, but who else is out there still with me? Boyd, you still out there?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I can't get this video. I can't. My computer's locking up on me. They must be hitting me right now. I don't know. Shadow banning me. But any final thoughts to tonight's podcast? I can't play nothing. My computer's locked up. Everything's locked up. I can see my studio, but I can't do anything. It's crazy. Any last thoughts to tonight's show? I know you guys want to talk all night, but I'm not going to do that. I do have some campaigning tomorrow.
Yeah.
No, I'm good.
Any campaign advice for me? Let me get this, see if I get this crap up.
Well,
you know, here's what I would do is if you could say something that, like, if you could give some facts,
yep,
just throw out a fact on occasion. Don't put a whole list of them out there. But if you could come up with, for instance, this is a crazy one. If we were taught all our life that 2 + 2 = 3, and you could just make the point that, look, here it is, two over here and two. Now let's count them. 2 + 2 isn't 3. It's 4. That will catch people's attention. It will automatically make them mad because it's not what they want. That what they know, because they've known it and it's in their soul, but you'll create something to make them wrestle with it. Put a dare out there, go prove me wrong. And that's like, for example, I got my bell rung tonight when I heard somebody mention something. When I hear something about some politician, I can put a fact out there like Obama's czars, most of them were from Mitt Romney. You know, and it makes the point that we got one party. But just one, you know, you can't list a whole lot of things because people think you're just rattling off a bunch of junk. But just throw one thing out there, a simple fact. Go look at that and prove me wrong. That's how you reach the mind. That's my opinion. I'm not saying I know how to reach people's minds.
Pretty good. Yeah. You know, get that light bulb to turn on. Yeah. You know, once you get that light bulb turned on, then you know.
Yeah, like a good one is everybody, especially the religious right, they love Mike Pence. But whenever you mention to him and put in front of this, that he was a part of the Obama, Biden, getting Biden's son off the hook in Ukraine because they threatened to hold the money back, their military aid back. And Mike Pence was the one that went over there and walked them through to make sure that they did everything they were supposed to do. Now, you know, that's hard to say. That's hard to hear whenever you love Mike Pence, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's hard when you throw something against Trump. I mean, Trump or Reagan. Or if we love a man, it's hard to tell them. It's like that woman. It's hard to tell her your husband's messing around on you. She doesn't want to believe it.
But Nathan, the problem with you. You're too logical. That's the problem with that. That's a logical way to look at it. And with some of these people, you try to inject logic. You try to inject logic to them, and their heads blow off.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, well, how do you deal
with
that?
That probably. And that
well,
might,
go out
that
and blow up
be,
a whole bunch of them.
Yeah.
Take them out.
Yeah, but it's just, I'm just saying, throw
blow
one thing out there and just
up.
Let them wrestle with it. Just throw the point out and let them wrestle with it and let them go look it up so they can set you straight and they get their heart broke whenever they find out that you were right. But it hurts.
You know, when
we do not
when
condone any blowing up of anything.
Amendment, and it's like, okay, it doesn't say what they think it says. When we try to say it doesn't say what you think it says, they don't want to hear that. It's almost like, I'm a big comic book guy. It's almost like, you know, when you, at one point in comic book history,
People could not, people, they just didn't want to see that Clark Kent was Superman. And they were blind to the fact that this guy in a big baggy suit wearing these glasses was Superman, right? It was
anybody but him. Anybody but him.
Anybody but him. You can't see that this guy is 6'4", you know, and 240 pounds, and he can move planets, you know, that type of stuff. And the way they wrote it, you know, that the glasses had power, I don't know, whatever, they just didn't want to see it. That's where some of these people are. They're just, you can try to inject as much logic as you want. They don't want to see it. You know, they don't want to see they don't want to see the fact that the laptop from hell is real. They don't want to see the fact that we have the highest inflation since Carter. They don't want to see the fact that this guy is a worse president than Jimmy Carter, and that's saying something.
Yeah,
so is.
Yeah, and you know, I was thinking something along those lines the other day. You know, everything he's done with the border, he just opened the gates and let you just come on in. No accountability. We don't have any checkpoints to find out who you are. And then now he goes down to the border, and you know what? There's so many people that will look, he's trying to fix this problem, but they don't think back. He's the one that broke the problem. He broke it. He's the one that Trump was the only president ever took building a fence.
Trump
serious.
Did.
Yeah, and they'll believe him. I heard it said, don't worry about what other people think because most people don't think, and I've seen that to be true.
When you point out that the place where he went, there are no border crossings that are happening. He didn't go to the right place. It's like Kamala Harris, when they said she went down to the border. She went down to the, quote, border, but it was, 500 or 600 or 800 miles away from where the actual border is. You know, so it's like, okay, I went down to the border. No. Logic dictates 500 miles away is not the border.
Yeah.
Well, they were talking. Well, they acted like they were going to the border. <You know? laughs> That's the same thing, right?
It tells you how much a generation is out of touch with reality. If you ever listen to stuff back, like game shows or radio shows back in the early part of the country during the Great Depression and after the war, you listen to the young people and their conversations, and it's like, you know, these people were thinkers. We're not.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's how different, you know, how different the things are. I mean, just look at the generation. Look at the 80s, 90s, and 2000s. When 2000 came, it really started speeding things up. Things really got out of control real fast, and corruption really kicked in. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, how bad? I mean, just like everybody lies. Everybody's full of shit, you know? I mean, it's insane.
And if you say something logical, they just kind of like, oh, God, and they just ignore you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. We're in trouble. And then they came up with these identity names, you know, woke movement, and, you know, and, I don't know. I mean,
in order to reach somebody, you got to give them something. You got to promise them something.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Handshake means nothing. It's just terrible. Terrible.
I think we're on the verge of slavery.
If there's a $100 bill in your hand.
$100, that ain't worth nothing today. $100 bill, that ain't worth nothing.
It used to be something, or it means something. You know, a handshake means something. You know, I like to go back and talk about cultural things. There was this movie that Eddie Murphy did called The Distinguished Gentleman, where basically Eddie Murphy was a con man, but he gets elected to Congress because of his name. And the character gets elected to Congress because of his name. And it's like, all right, his name was Thomas Jefferson Johnson or whatever it was, and Jeff Johnson, and it's like the guy who was there before died, and his name was Jeff Johnson. So basically he got in on his name, but as soon as he gets in there, he meets all these guys that corrupt, all these lobbyists from different things that corrupt and all that stuff. And, you know, and it's like, okay. And you look, you go back and you look at that movie, and it's basically how things work in Washington. Right? I mean, may be a good guy. You may be a good guy running for office as you're running, but when you get to Washington, people will come to you and say, okay, we want you to vote this way, and we're going to pay you.
That's what people told me was going to happen with me. I'm going to become corrupted. You know, I'll become corrupted.
Mm-hmm.
So right. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. I don't think I'll become corrupted.
It could happen with you.
What are they
going to
do, pay me $1 million? What?
People, you know? That's
another
reason
my chat room.
Right.
Hey, I'm going to have to go. I'll get you guys later.
Yeah, Nathan, I'm going to wrap it up anyway.
Okay. All right.
What's up, Mike? Make your final point. Anybody else real quick?
Yeah.
All right.
That's another reason why they hate
I'll
Trump
do my closing.
Because they can't corrupt him.
Yeah.
You know, they can't corrupt Trump. They're trying, and that's why they're trying to make him poor so
people.
That he's going to be more easier to corrupt.
Nah,
you know?
They got to corrupt Trump. Ain't gonna corrupt. He ain't going to be poor where he's going to be broke. That ain't going to happen. Let's see. What can I play here at the end that could piss everybody off here? Let's see here. Find something here. I haven't played this one in a long time if I could find it. But I want to play that for my friends there in case the GOP is listening, you know. But I don't know if I can find it. I can't find nothing tonight. I don't know what the hell's going on. Here it is right here. All right, everybody, God bless the Republic.
Let's talk to Will in Arizona. Thanks for holding her on the air.
First off, I am a Prison TV Planet member.
Awesome, brother. Go ahead and into your points, and I'll hold you over if need be.
If you really want to have an unabridged idea of what is going on today, look at it's actually a YouTube video, but it's a documentary, Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told. He actually kicked out a lot of the bankers because they were trying to implode Germany after World War One. And it was the bankers. And when I was watching that, it was 5 hours long. And I started listening and saying to myself, wait a minute, they are just repeating history. But because we are so dumbed down in the sense of our historical knowledge.
Well, I haven't seen the documentary you're talking about. But people can, I guess, check it out for themselves.
The very well-made, excellent, and moving documentary called Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told. I want you to do something for me as well, and I would really appreciate it. Before you listen to this interview, I want you to watch the documentary. I know you want to listen to this program right away, but if you haven't already seen it, I want you to stop this program right now and go watch the documentary first. And I'm adamant about watching the documentary because one of the biggest hurdles that the majority of people seem to have, they're basically just kind of set in their ways, and they argue that they already know everything that they need to know concerning this topic. Well, I can promise you, people, you don't know one-tenth of it.
I seriously had a panic attack after I watched that documentary, The Greatest Story Never Told. And for days afterward, I was really shook up. It had such a profound impact on me, and everything started making so much sense, and I felt so... I mean, I've always felt kind of betrayed by the powers that be, but I felt more betrayed than ever. Mm-hmm. And I started looking back on my entire life and looking back at all the movies that I'd seen.
I just couldn't believe it. I thought if they could pull off this, then anything is possible. Anything.
Yeah.
You know, and that one, you know, I would encourage anybody watching this or listening to this to watch that hasn't seen that documentary to watch it. Go back
with an open mind.
Open mind and listen to that interview that you did with Dennis Wise recently.
But that's most likely what got us censored from iTunes, by the way, too, that show.
Yeah, well.
That shows what we're not allowed to talk about. It's just off limits, you know?
And that's what, when I was going through that sort of panic attack realization, that was it. That was the big red flag. I was like, oh my God, like, of course we're not being told the truth because we're not allowed to talk about this issue. When you're not allowed to talk about something, then that's like the red flag right there. If it's off limits, then that's the thing you need to talk about the most.
And the rule to remember is that history is written by the winner.
I can promise you, people, you don't know one-tenth of it.
And I feel like this all the time, trying to politically awaken people that they're being lied to, that there's an agenda. It's not left or right. It's, hey, there's mind control going on. The signals broadcast 24 hours a day through all this media. Just become aware of it, and they'll say, there's nothing going on. And I want to say, put on these glasses or start chewing concrete.
They have taken the hearts and minds of our leaders. They have recruited the rich and the powerful. And they have blinded us to the truth.
The question is, do we all work for central bankers? That's what I want to address to our guest tonight.
Our impulses are being redirected. We are living in an artificially induced state of consciousness that resembles sleep.
An estimated 50 to 70 million Americans suffer from a sleep disorder or sleep deprivation.
Outside the limit of our sight, feeding office. Perched on top of us from birth to death are our owners.
Latest census numbers prove the United States has the biggest gap between rich and poor compared to all westernized countries today.
Our projections show that by the year 2025, not only America, but the entire planet will be under the protection and the dominion of this power alliance. The gains have been substantial, both for ourselves and for you. The human power elite.
And for the first time in all of human history, mankind is politically awakened. That's a total new reality.
I've got one that can see.
We can't be the only ones who can see.
Unfortunately, you've grown up hearing voices that incessantly warn of government as nothing more than some separate, sinister entity that's at the root of all our problems.
It's a new morning.
I've been asking where the Trump supporters are, right? Why we've been so quiet? Where all the Trumpies at, right? That's what I've been hearing. We've been here the whole time. We don't need a safe space. We don't burn down our cities. We don't riot when things don't go our way. And if we lose a fair one, and we accept defeat with humility. But when you try to rob from us,